Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Friday, October 4th. Joining us today are Eric and Kate to discuss a major discovery in long COVID research. Today we're discussing a major discovery in long COVID research. Northwestern University researchers have found something that could lead to potential treatments. Let's start with the basics. Eric, what exactly is long COVID?
Long COVID is a real pain in the neck, Ted. It's this nasty condition that sticks around for about a third of folks who've had COVID. We're talking symptoms that just won't quit. Long after the initial infection's gone, it's like a bad house guest that overstays its welcome, you know? And let me tell you, it's been flying under the radar for far too long. We're not just dealing with a sniffle here and there. This is serious business.
While that's true, let's not blow things out of proportion. Many people bounce back from COVID without a hitch.
Blow things out of proportion? Come on, Kate. We're talking about millions of people suffering here. This isn't some made-up crisis. Take Kevin Tenney, for instance. The poor guy was coughing his lungs out every single day for a whole year.
Anecdotes aren't data, Eric. We can't base our understanding on one person's experience. We need to look at the bigger picture here. What about all the people
who... Let's dig into the research findings. Kate, what did the Northwestern team discover?
Well, Ted... They found some scar tissue forming in patients' lungs, which they spotted through CT scans. It's an interesting observation, sure, but let's not jump the gun here. We need to be careful about how we interpret these findings. It's just one piece of a very complex puzzle, and we shouldn't be making sweeping statements based on this alone.
It's more than just interesting, Kate. This is groundbreaking stuff. They've pinpointed a specific type of cell that's driving the scarring. Do you realize what this means? We're talking
about potential. Let's pump the brakes, Eric. Many so-called breakthroughs end up fizzling out in the long run. We need a lot more research before we start making grand claims. Science is
more research? For crying out loud, Kate, they've been studying this for 4 years. Dr. Mark Sala, the co-director of the Comprehensive COVID Center, believes this could be the key to preventing irreversible scar tissue. This isn't some half-baked theory.
That's just one doctor's opinion, Eric. We need peer-reviewed studies and clinical trials before we can even think about actual treatments. You can't just take
this
one person's
word. This is peer-reviewed
work,
Kate. The paper's been published, and it's based on extensive lab tests and patient data. It's not like they're pulling this out of thin air. This is solid scientific.
Let's put this in historical context. Can you think of a similar breakthrough in medical research? Eric, any thoughts?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me of when Barry Marshall and Robin Warren discovered the role of Helicobacter pylori in stomach ulcers back in 82. It was a total game changer. Before that, everyone thought ulcers were just from stress or eating spicy food, but these guys came along and showed it was actually caused by bacteria. It completely flipped the script on how we understand and treat ulcers. This long COVID research could be just as revolutionary.
That's quite a stretch, Eric. The H. pylori discovery was a clear-cut case of cause and effect. This long COVID research is way more
complicated. But the principle is the same, Kate. Both involve identifying a specific biological factor behind a chronic condition. Before Marshall and Warren, everyone was barking up the wrong tree with ulcers. This could be just
the H. pylori discovery was proved through self-experimentation. Are these researchers willing to do the same with their long COVID findings?
That's an unfair comparison, Kate. Ethics in medical research have evolved since then. We can't expect researchers to infect themselves these days. The point is, both discoveries challenge what we thought we knew about chronic conditions.
But ulcers are a far cry from the complexity of long COVID. We're dealing with a novel virus and its long-term effects on multiple organ systems.
Interesting points. Now, how might this discovery impact future pandemic responses? Kate, your thoughts?
It's way too early to say, Ted. We need to focus on preventing infections in the first place rather than getting ahead of ourselves planning for long-term complications. Let's not put the cart before the horse here. Our priority should be stopping the spread of the virus, not speculating about potential treatments for something we don't fully understand yet.
That's short-sighted, Kate. This research shows we need to consider long-term effects in our pandemic strategies. It could influence how we develop vaccines and early treatment protocols.
But we can't design pandemic responses around potential long-term effects that we don't fully understand yet. That's not how public health works. We need to focus on
understanding long COVID is crucial for public health planning, Kate. This research gives us a head start for future outbreaks. We can't just ignore the long-term implications. It's like building a house without thinking about the foundation.
Let's look to the future. How do you see this research developing? Eric, what's your prediction?
I'm pretty optimistic, Ted. I believe this will lead to targeted drug therapies within the next 5 years. Think about it. By focusing on these specific cells causing lung scarring, we could potentially nip the COVID symptoms in the bud before they even start. It's like having a fire extinguisher ready before the fire starts. This research has given us the blueprint. Now we just need to build the treatment.
That's incredibly optimistic, Eric. Drug development takes decades, not years. We might see some progress, but a cure-all is unlikely.
Who said anything about a cure-all, Kate? This is about targeted treatments. The research has already identified the problematic cells. That's half the battle. It's like we found the culprit in a crime. Now we just
Identification is just the first step, Eric. We need to understand why these cells behave this way. Develop drugs, run trials. It's a long process. You're making it sound like we're just around the corner.
But we're not starting from scratch, Kate. This builds on existing pulmonary fibrosis research. We could see accelerated development. It's like we've been given a head start in a marathon. We're not at the finish line, but we're way ahead.
Accelerated doesn't mean instant, Eric. We need to manage expectations and focus on current preventative measures. We can't just sit around waiting for a miracle drug.
Interesting perspectives. Now, how might this impact COVID-19 policy moving forward? Kate, your thoughts?
Look, Ted. Policy shouldn't change based on preliminary findings. We need to stick to what we know works. Vaccines, masks, and social distancing when necessary. It's like changing the rules of a game halfway through. It just creates confusion. We need solid, proven methods, not speculation based on early research. Let's not put the cart before the horse here.
That's too conservative, Kate. This research shows we need to update our approach. Long COVID is a serious threat, and policies should reflect that. We can't just stick our heads in the sand.
But drastically changing policy based on one study is irresponsible, Eric. We need consensus from the broader scientific community. You can't just upend everything because of one piece of research.
Waiting for perfect consensus means missing opportunities to help people now, Kate. This research should inform policy immediately. Every day we wait is another day. People are suffering. We need to be proactive, not reactive.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to Eric and Kate for this lively discussion on the latest long COVID research. It's clear there's still much to learn and debate in this field. Stay tuned to listen to for more updates on this developing story.